Hebrews chapter number 6. And let's begin reading tonight in verse number 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could not swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both steadfast and sure, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now may the Lord add His richest blessings to the reading of His Word. I trust that you'll pray that God will help Brother Hall tonight. An unusual service, unusual, I think, presence of God. And I need your prayers in the utmost. And I mean that with all of my heart. I labored all day yesterday, way up into the wee hours of the night last night, trying to get my heart where I wanted it to be and trying to bring this message. And it's a difficult portion of Scripture to preach from. And I want to try to preach it tonight the best God will help me to do, and hope that we'll leave tonight with our hearts being stirred and our souls being caressed by the presence of God. Let's pray. Our Father, I want to thank Thee now for what You've already done in my heart. Thank You that You've allowed me tonight just for a few minutes to enter into the presence of God. And there, my Father, to worship You in spirit and in truth, just for these few moments. It's been worth it all, Lord, just for those few moments to be with You. It's my prayer now that You would continue to still our hearts tonight as we look into the Word of God. And, Lord, that You would open these Scriptures to us. And, Father, that the Spirit of the living God would just grip our hearts tonight and get our attention, help us to focus our hearts and our minds upon Thee. I pray that You'll bless us with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Help us to leave this place tonight saying it's been good to be in the house of God. I ask You to save every lost sinner that's in this building under the sound of my voice. And then, Lord, I pray that You'll get glory, honor to Yourself. Do provide the liberty we need. And You said where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Help Brother Hall. Lord, I feel so inadequate to delve into this passage of Scripture. And yet I've been called upon by the Spirit of God to labor in it and preach it. And Lord, I need Your divine help and wisdom. I pray that You'll grant it now in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. Thank You now, and you may be seated. I want to try to take these Scriptures that I read in your hearing tonight and use as our text verse number 19. Where Brother Paul said, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Now, if God will help me for a few minutes tonight, and I'll try not to be any longer than I have to be, I want to preach for a little while on my anchor holds. My anchor holds. Paul said there that we have an anchor for the soul, or of the soul, that is both steadfast and sure, which entereth in that, into that, within the veil. And so I want to try to preach on that anchor of hope for just a little while tonight. I preached to you this morning on my little hope chest and tried to share some thoughts with you about the hope that is in my bosom. And if God will help me for a little while tonight, I want to finish out chapter number 6 of the book of Hebrews and preach to you again on the thought, my anchor hold. I want to say tonight before I ever begin, church, that our anchor that God's given will hold. out of all, Jesus said, out of all that my Father has given me, He said, I've lost none save the son of perdition that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. And so God is not in the soul losing business. He's in the soul saving business. And by the way, He wants you and I to have a full assurance of our faith in Him. He doesn't want us teeter-tottering. He doesn't want us up and down, in and out, and hot and cold. God does not want us doubting, our hearts filled with doubts and fears and so forth. God wants you and I, as His dear children, to have a full assurance of faith. And in order to provide that for us, God's given us an anchor that is anchored behind the veil that is steadfast and sure, that will prevent us from drifting during any time in our Christian life, holding us steadfast in the service of God. Now, having said that, let me get right into the text. This morning, you know, we noticed that in these previous verses, Paul has exhorted the people of God to be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience have inherited the promises. He said that, by the way, in verse number 12. And then he turns right around and does a wonderful thing. He uses here, he then uses Abraham, who is the father of our faith, as an illustration of one who had patiently endured and then eventually received the blessing of God. For he said in verse number 15, and so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Now, I want to say to you tonight that Abraham did not obtain that promise by an accident. We're not going to stumble across the promises of God. We're not going to obtain from God the richest promises in this book by an accident. I tell you, I believe that they are divinely oriented in the mind of Almighty God. And God's given us grace and ability that we can receive His richest and abiding blessings in our life. For instance, if we look at the illustration that God gave us, remember now, keep in mind that Abraham, after he had endured and patiently endured, after he had stayed under the load and carried the load, that it was then and only then that he received the promise of God. Somebody said, preacher, how can a child of God stay under and endure the testing of time? And I want to say this before I ever get started, that God is turning up the fires in 1998. God is going to heat this thing up, folks, and He's purging the wheat from the tares. God is purging the church. I'm not talking about the church of the living God, the true believers. I'm referring to that local church that is made up of the tares and the wheat, and Almighty God is purging the tares from the wheat and getting ready to gather His wheat into the barn. I'll never forget old Brother Hanley Melby preached here some years ago in the church out of Ephesians 5, and he talked about the spots and the wrinkles that God's ironing out of the church. And he said in order to do that, He'll turn up the heat at the house of God to iron the wrinkles out of the church. And you hear me quite well, things are not going to get any better in the world for the child of God. Buddy, it's going to continue to worsen. Our society is not going to get one bit better. I'm telling you, friend, I'm appalled when I read the newspapers of some of the shenanigans that's going on in our society. I just read in the newspaper today where a 54-year-old woman in the state of Florida is about to be executed on Monday, be the first woman that was ever put to death in the state of Florida since 1848 when a black slave woman was executed because she had killed her master. Somebody said, my God, what did that woman do? Well, I tell you, she had a wonderful heart about her. She didn't do anything but poison her husband with arsenic poisoning and give him a slow death. She then poisoned her stepson and caused him to have cerebral palsy. And if that wasn't enough, he didn't die from it. She took him out in a boat and throwed him out of a boat having 19 pounds of steel on his arms and legs and let him drown in a river. And if that wasn't enough,
She met up with her boyfriend, fed him arsenic poison, and killed him likewise. And then they really believe that the woman has been connected or affiliated with another murder. Somebody said, what are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying that the world is a growing no better, buddy. Amen. That's right. And you better anchor your soul down at the house of God and make up your mind that you're going to stay in the saddle and serve God. Amen. Or if you're not careful, you're going to be a whitewash and a washout and wind up on the low end of the stick if you don't hang in there for the glory of God. World ain't getting no better. World ain't going to get any better. But I'm glad Jesus is. Amen. Son, it's a getting better on up the road. Amen. I mean that. Y'all look at me kind of odd. I mean that. But buddy, it's better to me right now than it was 10 years ago. Yes, sir. He's a getting sweeter and sweeter and sweeter every day. I'll be honest with you, he's about to turn to sugar, hallelujah to God. Amen. He's my sugar stick, and you better mark that down. It's a getting better every day in the service of God. But hey, Abraham did not stumble upon the promise of God by some accident. No, sir. Old Abraham was a man that first of all separated himself from the world. Amen. When God called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, he didn't stand around and finagle with God. He didn't argue with God about the thing. I tell you, we live in an age, buddy, when Baptist folks want to argue with you about the separation they have from the world. Amen. Old Abraham didn't argue with God. He just loaded up his wife, loaded up his nephew and his daddy, took all of his belongings that he had, left the world, and headed out for a straight course to Canaan land. I'm telling you right now, if you're ever going to inherit the blessings of God, you're going to have to mark her down. You'll have to separate yourself from the world. God is not taking worldlings into the glory realm. He's coming after those that have been bought with a price, been to Calvary, white. I've been blood bought by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah to God. And got a heavenly mind and a heavenly hope. And they're not anchored in the world, but they're anchored behind the veil up in glory. That's right. Don't you think you're going to hobnob with the world and go to heaven? You ain't going to do it. You can listen to all your rock you want to. Hey, somebody said he's going to get on that again. Boy, I think we need to get on it. Huh? Amen. Hey, that's right. I'm going to tell you what's wrong with these teenage kids. Hey, I looked at the two faces of that little 11 and 13-year-old boy that pulled the trigger on those people in Jonesboro, Arkansas. And their faces were as innocent looking as a little lamb. But I'm telling you, down in their hearts, they're as black and as wicked as the devil himself. Son, I'm talking about a premeditated murder that was pulled off better than any presidential assassination that's ever been in our country. Where'd they get it from, Brother Hall? I'm going to tell some of you mommies and daddies where it come from. It come from that mess of listening to rock music and watching that mess on the television set and filling their hearts and their minds full of the garbage that's coming out of Hollywood. Amen. I'm going to tell you, you better keep your youngins away from that mess. It is an influence, buddy, to be reckoned with in our society today. You better believe it is. He separated himself from the world. That's in Hebrews 11:8, by the way. And then he took the place of a stranger and a pilgrim. He realized that this world was not his home. He's just a passing through. His treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Somebody said, well, Brother Hall, I've got a few possessions down here in the world. You better chunk them in and lay up some treasures over on the other side. I'm telling you, God's going to burn this mess up with a fervent heat someday. This old world will not stand. But hey, I'm looking for a new world wherein dwelleth righteousness. Hallelujah to God. This one ain't going to stand. But God's going to prepare new heavens and a new earth. And the righteous are going to dwell therein. That's right. I'm not a putting down my tent stakes too deep. And you better not either. Huh? Amen. Took his place. Hey, by the way, I'm just a sojourner. I'm just sojourning in this land. If you're God's child, this place not your home. Under Godhood won't live in this mess. stinking, rotten sin and crime and violence and hatred. I've never in my life seen so messed up. But hey, I don't know about you, but I'm ready to get out of her. Amen. I'm ready for the trumpet to sound tonight. Get me out of this mess. Hallelujah to God. I'm ready to go on home. I want to be with Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. Somebody said, well, Brother Hall, we oughtn't to feel that way. Paul said, I've got a desire to go on and be with Him, which is much greater. Hallelujah to God. Oh, yes, sir. And then, oh, Brother Abraham remained faithful and patiently endured when God's promises seemed to fail in his life. Let me ask you something tonight. Every time something goes wrong in your life and something happens that just don't quite live up to your standard or doesn't turn out the way you think it ought to turn out, does it distraught you and discourage you to the point where you're ready to throw in the proverbial towel, raise up the white flag of surrender, and tell God you quit? Does every time, hey, listen to me now, every time you're disappointed, do you want to quit on God? Every time something don't go your way or turn out the way you think it ought to turn out, are you ready to give up on God? I'm telling you, that may be just one more stepping stone on the way to heaven. If you think God's going to let her be a bed of roses, honey, you crazy, you're dumber than a box of rocks. I'm telling you, there's going to be trials and testings and heartaches and hardships along the way. And God is going to test your faith whether it's real or not. I'm going to tell you something. If you got an anchor behind a veil, like old Abraham, you can patiently endure whatever comes your way. Hallelujah to God. Look the devil straight in the eye, spit in his face, sing all four stanzas of Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, and worship God in spirit and in truth. I could point out some of you in here tonight. And your problem right now is everything ain't going exactly like you think it ought to go. God ain't done for you exactly like you think God ought to do for you. Or God hadn't given you exactly what you think God ought to give you. I've got news for you. He knows a whole lot more about what you need than you do, honey. God always gives His best to those that leave the choice with Him. He knows what's best in your life. Hallelujah to God. I'm satisfied. Hey, by the way, when Ishmael come along, I'm satisfied. Sarah said, under God. God's given us a son. Would you believe, hey, even when God spoke to Abraham about Isaac, Abraham said, hey, why can't you just put the blessing on Ishmael? God said, not a way. Said, I'm going to bless the boy that's out of yours and out of Sarah's loins. And I'm going to tell you tonight that old Abraham patiently endured waiting on the promise, and through his patience and endurance, he obtained that promise from Almighty God. Now, don't nobody leave me now. Hey, and by the way, he overcame temptation. He was offered riches by the king of Sodom. And he said, I'll not have nothing to do with it. You better listen to Brother Hall right here. Shekels bring shackles, buddy. Free gifts always bring shackles with it. You better be careful always wanting to take a gift or wanting somebody to give you something, because shekels, buddy, bring shackles. And old Abraham said, hey, Abraham knew it wasn't right to take money from that filthy, wicked king, laying down in Sodom and Gomorrah, living in sin up to his eyeballs. Amen. Hey, he said, that's right. He said, I want you to take of the spoil. Abraham said, I won't take a dime of it, lest you boast that Abraham was made rich by you. I don't want nothing you got. And he was able to overcome that temptation in his life. Now, I'm about to try to get where I want to be tonight. But when Paul comes down to these closings and closes this sixth chapter, he closes it with the most glorious message of comfort that we could possibly be afforded, which is designed to set the hearts of God's children at perfect rest. It's designed to relieve all their fears of uncertainty. It's designed to strengthen their faith and to deepen their assurance and to cause them to look forward to the future with the most implicit confidence. God wants you, your faith to be deepened. Amen. And God wants your confidence in Him to be bold. God wants you to have an assurance of your salvation to the degree that you can look to the future confidently without worry and fear of anything, knowing that you've got an anchor behind the veil. And thank God tonight, my anchor holds. Hallelujah to God. My anchor holds. It ain't going to slip. It ain't going to slip. It's a holding back there. Well, I'm a trying now. Told you it's an unusual spirit to begin tonight. I'm a trying. Now hear me. It is God's purpose and plan that the heirs of promise shall have the comfort of a divine and a dual certainty. Let me ask you something tonight. Are you certain of your salvation? Do you know that you know that you know that you've been redeemed? Amen. Hey, God in these next verses gloriously pinned down a divine and a dual blessing that serve as a comfort to our soul that will enable us to look into the future, whether we look in death in the face or otherwise, and live a triumphant life without worry to the glory of God, knowing that God holds it all in His hands and there's nothing nor no power that can pluck us out of His hand. Hallelujah to God. Amen. That's right. Somebody said, what are those things? Now, I'm not going to preach on them right now, but I'm going to mention them. God's promise, verse number 15, where He said, after He had patiently endured, He obtained the promise. That is one of God's divine certainties. Somebody said, well, what about God's promise? God hath promised eternal life before the foundation of the world. And God cannot lie. Somebody said, you're a Calvinist. I don't give a ragtag flip what you call me tonight. God's Son, it was foreordained that God's Son would go to Calvary before you and I ever came into this world, friend. And in the immutable counsels of God, God said it was going to be so, and it is so. And God said anyone that puts their faith and trust in Him, that they're going to glory. And He confirmed it by two immutable truths, His divine oath and His promise and His counsel that He's given you and I. You know what I say to the devil?
Amen.
I'm going to glory. I am going to glory. You looking at a saved boy? I'm going. God, somebody said, you can't be. I feel so sorry for our friends that believe you can lose it. When God has confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, we might have a strong consolation. Who might have it? The heirs of promise who have fled for a refuge and laid hold of the hope that is set before us. What hope has been set before us? The hope of the Lord Jesus Christ has been set before us. Have you laid hope of God tonight? That's right. It is by these two immutable things that we are able to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us, which provides an anchor for our soul. An anchor for our soul. Now, I've got three anchors that I want to mention tonight, and I'll come to mention two of them first, come to the third one that's in our text, and we're going to the house. I've got an anchor. He said, we have a hope. We have a hope, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. Thank God tonight my anchor holds. Somebody said, Brother Hall, I might not make it. Lay aside foolish talk. Have you been redeemed? Is God your Father? Are you God's child? I'm trying to talk to you now. You'd be surprised at the folks that get up and brag about knowing that know that they know they say, and yet deep down in their heart, there's a fear in their soul that God may have lied about something. Or God may not really be true. Or the Bible may not really be the Word of God. I'll tell you, friend, I'm confident that that book is a book of God. And everything God said in that book, He's going to do. He'll bring it to pass. He's God, and besides Him, there is none other. I'm glad, thank God, that He confirmed it with an oath. And He's given me an anchor that will hold behind the veil. Somebody said, what if you sin? I've got an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And I tell you, to be honest with you, it's not if you sin, it's when. I'd be careful if I was a man bragging about not sinning. I've heard a lot of folks say, I live above sin. I'm like Brother Smith. I used to live above a beer joint once. Huh? You ain't going to live above sin. It dwells in this mortal flesh, in your mortal body. Oh, somebody said, well, what if we do sin? Thank God, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Oh, yes, we've got an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Oh, hallelujah to God. We've got an anchor. I'm glad tonight my anchor holds. Woo! Now, I want somebody to hear. I want you to listen closer now. I'm going to try to give you these and we're going to have. Number one, I have got the anchor tonight of God's offspring. Do you get hold of that? Read in verses 19 and 20 again. I've read them a half a dozen times. Which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, though sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. I'm glad that I've got an anchor behind the veil in the offspring of God, who is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, and He holds me there, safe, steadfast, and secure in the everlasting arms of God. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. God's offspring. God's offspring is my anchor, the Lord Jesus. Amen. Have you anchored your soul in Him tonight?
Amen.
Have you set your hope in Him? Is your hope really in Him?
Amen.
That's what I'm asking you.
Amen.
Let her soak in.
Amen.
I mean, is it real? Hey, there's good folk all over our town. They'll tell you that their hope is in the Lord Jesus, but they'll turn right around and tell you, unless you've been baptized in Jesus' name, that you ain't going to heaven. Their hope's not in Him behind the veil. No, sir. If the baptistry was to run dry, they might lose it all. Oh, that's right. Amen. That's right. Catholic church right up the road. Now I'm telling you, I don't approve of it. I saw in the paper today where the Catholic priest married a black man, a white woman. Now I'm saying it on public radio. I don't agree with it. No wonder our country's in the mess it's in. Hey, man, I have to give old Southwest Radio Church credit for one thing, buddy. They've been hammering on some sin the last couple of weeks in that little five-minute spot. The five-minute spot's better than the whole program. Amen. Somebody said, are you against that? Absolutely. And if you're not, you ought to read chapter number 17 of the book of Acts. You'll find out why God established their bounds of habitation, buddy. That happily they might seek after God. I'm going to tell you what interracial marriage and stuff does. It causes people to turn from God Almighty, buddy, and brings a curse on your life. Somebody said, oh, it ain't no curse. Hey, I'm telling you, that little high yeller boy or girl running around, buddy, will be loved by nobody. That's right. Amen. That's the first rabbit tonight. Hallelujah to God. Huh? But I'm going to tell you what the Catholic priest up there will tell you. Put a little piece of bread in your mouth and drink a little jigger of wine, and that's what it takes to get you into heaven. Son, ain't nobody went to heaven drinking wine. I'm going to tell you what wine will do. It'll get you drunk. It'll cause you to sin. Amen. It'll inflame your mind and your soul and cause you to sin and turn your heart from God, turn your heart from your family, turn your heart from the church, turn your heart from the Bible. Hey, that's right. Hey, nobody ever went to heaven drinking wine, buddy. They'll go to hell. I'm going to tell you, but you better, Jesus said, you better drink of my blood and eat my flesh if you're going in. Hallelujah to God. Amen. God's offspring. Now notice this about this anchor of hope. He said there in verse number 19 that it is both sure and steadfast.
Amen.
Let me ask you something tonight. What is it about Jesus that is sure? Huh? I hope y'all don't leave me now. Let me preach to you a little bit out of the book. What is it about Jesus that is sure? He said that anchor is sure. You can count on it. It's not even debatable. It's a sure thing. I'm going slow. I want you to get it. I'm not in no hurry. Sure. Both sure and steadfast. You want me to run it by you again? It's sure. Somebody said, Brother Hall, what are some sure things about God's offspring? Number one, His testimony is sure. David said in Psalm 19, verse 7, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Buddy, I got a hold of that one last night, and it just about made me do a double backflip. Hey, he didn't say the testimony of the Lord might make a simple man wise. I'm here to tell you, buddy, the Word of God will make a simple man wise. It'll fill you full of the wisdom of Almighty God. Amen. I'm going to tell you what converts the soul of a man. The Word of God. And it's sure. It'll do the work that God sets it out to do. He said in the Word of God that my Word shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish whatsoever that I've sent it out to do. I'm telling you that it's sure. The Word of God is sure tonight. It'll accomplish everything that God wants it to. You mark that down, buddy. The testimony of the Lord is sure. Making wise a simple. That is, that book will convert you. I told Miss Hall yesterday, I said, eternity will only tell what sin that preaching has kept people out of. I'm telling you what's wrong with our world today, buddy. They don't sit under the Word of God. That's why 11 and 13-year-old boys can kill people without any remorse. That's why women can throw paraplegic boys with 19 pounds of steel on their arms and legs in a river and drown them. That's why a man or a woman can feed arsenic to their husband or wife and kill them slowly. Huh? Are you listening to me? They never sat under any preaching. I heard Brother Rain say this morning. I heard him say this morning. I believe it. Said he had to put a woman out of the choir because she had a slit up the back of her dress. And he said, if you don't preach on it, they'll do it. And I believe it, buddy. Hey, preaching the Word of God. That book, that Word, is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. And I'm telling you, the Word of God will do the job in some folks' lives. It's sure. I've got an anchor there. By the way, I got an anchor in this book. Brother Jerry sleeps with his. Huh? Somebody said, he's crazy, is he? I'll tell you what Job said about the book. He said, I esteem your word more than my necessary food. That's our problem today, buddy. We've done got in a hole now. We're not nourished on the Word of God. We're not led by the Word of God. We're not directed in our life by the Word of God. We don't let the Word of God experience our life and lead us in this pathway of godliness. Amen. No, we're led by our own conscience and our own will rather than letting the Word of God lead us. You young folks in here, hear me. That Bible will make every decision in your life for you if you'll let it. It'll make every decision in your life if you'll let it. Folks get fouled up, buddy, when they want to make their own little decisions. I'm going to do it my way. And some of you in here would do it your way or bust a gut. Huh? Maybe a little while. I've told some of you how you ought to do some things and to make it turn out right. And you wouldn't listen. It's just like pouring water on a duck's back. You wouldn't listen a bit more than a man in the moon. You turn right around and done exactly what you were told not to do for your good. And I'm going to tell you, keep on doing that. And one of these days she'll backfire on you. She'll backfire on you. Huh? Folks led by their own will, led by their own conscience, led by everything in the world other than the Word of God. I could just stop right there. I could just stop right there and tell you some stories. I'll never forget when I was in Bible college. God, I felt like God wanted me to go to Arizona, and He did. And went out there and started Sun Shield Baptist Church. It's still there today. I felt like God wanted me to go out there and raise money and go out there and start a church. Everybody else that was raising money on deputation, you know what the first thing they done? They bought them a truck, a van, and bought them a travel trailer. That's the first thing preachers think they got to have when they go, is a truck, and a big gooseneck trailer or something like that, and get out on the road. Buddy, I want to be like the rest of them. I kept looking until I found one. I found one guy, missionary, coming off the field. Said, I'll sell you the whole rig. I believe a 27-foot longer and a big van to pull it with. I told Mama, I said, hot dog, ain't we found something now, boy? Hey, won't we be now? We roll into these mission conferences, driving this big van, carrying that big trailer, and we just bunk up in that trailer. Won't have to worry about a sleazy motel room and all that mess. I said, we'll have her made. I went back to the house, and I told the man I'd let him know in 3 or 4 days about buying it, and I began to pray. Ask God what He wanted me to do, if I could buy it. And I got over in the book of Psalms, and I'd be Psalm number 78. And God said, yeah. God said, He gave. And I just read on by it. God said, and He gave them their request, but he sent leanness to their soul. I read on down by that. About 2 minutes later, the Holy Ghost said, "Hey, dummy, you just passed what I wanted you to see. Back up a little bit." I backed up, and there it was. God said, "I'll give you your request, but I'll send leanness to your soul. You better hear the preacher well tonight. I'm telling you, when our will gets in the way and we want it our way, God might give you what you want, but he may also send leanness to your soul." The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. That book will make a wise man or a woman out of you, buddy. If it will anybody. You can't go wrong on that book. Making wise the simple. Hallelujah to God. Amen. I'll never forget when I was getting ready to go to Arizona. Man, I was wanting somebody. I kept a praying. I said, "Lord," I said, some of them missionaries down there, they're going out two by two. And I said, "Lord," I said, "I'd like to go out with somebody. Who are you going to send with me?" And I prayed and prayed about that thing, And I got to Exodus chapter number 33, where Moses was leading the people of God down out of Egypt, over into the promised land. And they had sinned against God, built that molten calf around 32 and chapter 32. And God said, "I'm not going with you anymore." Moses divinely interceded for the people of God. God said, "All right, go ahead." Said, "I'll send an angel with you." And in chapter number 33, Moses got to praying and asking God, and he asked him this. He said, "Hey, you've told me to go into Egypt and bring these people out, but said you've not told me who's going with me into Canaan." And I stopped right there. I said, "Lord, that's a question." I said, "I'm asking you, who's going to Arizona with me? Who are you going to touch in the heart? Maybe one of the young preacher boys will surrender and go to Arizona." And I wrote him a Bible. It's still in that old 179X. I could take in my office and pull it out, turn to that chapter, and it'd be written right there. But that verse of scripture question. I read down three more verses. God said, "My presence shall go with you." I said, "Hallelujah to God. I'm glad God can speak to our hearts out of that old black book we call the King James 1611 Bible. It'll do you well to bury your nose in the Word of God." Amen. I'm about to get loose and ready to preach. I pray you need to throw away a bunch of the Playboy magazines, Good Housekeeping magazines, all that bunch of magazines, and get your nose in the Bible. I said, "My God, what do you expect? I read three verses all week." Huh? I'm telling you, God will speak to you out of that book. If you will let Him, God will speak to you out of that book. You start making decisions by your will, your own will and your conscience and what you think would be right, you in trouble. You're going to make some sore mistakes that's going to get you in some serious trouble somewhere down the road. Hey, I'm going to tell you what, there have been a lot of preachers that's left churches without a verse of Scripture to leave on. Now, I've got news for this church. Now, you hear Brother Hall well tonight what I'm getting ready to tell you. You get this well. God give me a verse of Scripture out of the 17th chapter of the book of 1 Kings and brought me to this church. And it's going to take a verse of Scripture somewhere to get me away from this church. Hey, somebody said, "What if the church goes down? Ain't nobody left but two or three people." Hallelujah to God. I'll just go out somewhere and find a job, come in here the best I can, and shout it out with two or three. And I ain't going no. So I tell you what, Brother Nolan called me the other night. He said, "You're building that new house, huh?" He said, "What are you going to do if God, when you get it built, God says it's Hank Snow?" I said, "If God says it's Hank Snow, it's Hank Snow. But if God don't say it's Hank Snow, it ain't Hank Snow. I ain't going nowhere without God's approval. There ain't none left but two or three of us sitting in here. Hallelujah. There ain't nobody left but me and Mama and two or three of you. We'll shout her out. Amen. Enjoy God. I ain't going nowhere unless God tells me out of that book." God, well, He'll make those decisions for you, buddy. His testimony is sure. May I say to you that His teachings are sure. He said in 2 Peter 1:19, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy." His teachings, the Word of God, His teachings, what God taught is sure. Somebody said, "Brother Hall, hey!" Somebody said, "I thought you'd preaching on an anchor." My anchor holds. Hey, look here. I want everybody to look right up here. I am staking my eternal soul on what that book says. I have put my eternal soul into what that book says. Not what the Mormons say. Not what the Jehovah's False Witness say. But what the King James 1611 says. Somebody said, Brother Hall, I believe it's inspired in the original manuscript. Hey, but not in the King James Bible. One problem, I don't have the original manuscripts. But hallelujah to God, Brother Jerry, I've got a good 1611 Schofield in my hand. Amen. And I'll stake my eternal soul on what that Bible teaches. Somebody said, what if you're wrong? That's what I said. I'm not wrong. I believe it.
Amen.
That's right. On his teachings, we have a more sure word of prophecy. And then I want to say that according to 2 Timothy 2:19, that the foundation of God is sure. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. I've got news for you tonight. He knows who you are more than you know who He is. But look here. I've got three youngins. You could send me into a crowd. You could send me into a crowd of 5,000 people, and I believe if I could see their little heads sticking up, I'd know which ones was mine and which ones wasn't. God don't have any problem recognizing you for His child. I'll tell you something, years ago, and I'm not proud of this, but years ago when I was kind of carnal minded now, Sister Hall and I went down into Nashville. What do they call that park? Opera Land. They're closing that thing down. Amen! God's blessing. I'm glad they're shutting the mess down. But they're going to worsen it. They're going to build a shopping center in there now for all the women to hang out in. I won't charge you nothing for that. Amen. But Miss Hall and I went down there, and hey, we let the kids get on some kind of a little old ride or something. We did something else and come back, and they were gone. I'm talking about thousands and thousands and thousands of people in that place. You're talking about a panic, buddy, old Brother Hall, panic. That's what you get for being somewhere you ought not to be, by the way. Buddy, I panicked, I'm telling you. We finally got some of the people, some of the guards and this and that, and the personnel, they said, come up to the front gate. I said, I ain't going to the front gate. My youngins is down in here, and I'm going to find them. And the man said, hey, said, sir, said, let me give you something. Said, every person that comes out of this park must go out through that front gate. Said, if your children are in here, they will have to come out through that gate. There is no other exit, no other way for them to get out here. Miss Hall and I headed for that exit, and we stood. And I looked, and I looked. And about closing time, all the droves of people started coming out of that place. And I tiptoed up and looked. About that time, I seen them little towheads dawdling up and down. They had a smile, and Daddy was about to die. They had a ball, and I was about to die. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But I'm telling you, I didn't have anybody. I said, Mama! There they are, back yonder in the crowd. They are coming to us, and I'm telling you, friend, that the foundation of God stands assured, having this seal that God knows His own. Thank God don't know who you are. Huh? Somebody said, oh, if you knew, I know, I think God's done forgotten about me. No, He hadn't. You ever forget about one of your children? Well, some of you live, I think you have. Won't charge you nothing for that.
Amen.
Huh? You think God's forgotten about you? The foundation of God. I'm talking about an anchor. Buddy, there's an anchor that'll hold.
Amen.
The offspring of God is an anchor that will hold behind the veil.
Amen.
Then I want to say number two. And I'm not going to mention the word steadfast because it's just about the same thing. But that anchor. There's that anchor of God's offspring. Then notice with me, He said that it's within the veil. Within the veil. He's got to be referring to the anchor of God's offering. He's got to be talking about the offering, the substitutionary sacrifice of our Lord Jesus upon the cross. Because after He made that offering, He entered in behind the veil with His blood. The Bible said that he entereth into that within the veil. It is no doubt referring to our Lord in His offering. And it's not just in His offering, but it's in the offering of His blood. Oh, boy. Can you get a hold? What an anchor for my soul. In the blood of the Lord Jesus. Go steadfast and sure. Thy God. Hey, somebody said, hey, but what's going to penetrate the blood? Nothing. Buddy, I'll tell you, it's enduring. One of the looks things I'd have these young folks come up here and sing, Father, look and see if the blood's still there. It's there. That song we play sometimes on WSOF about that little old boy down in Egypt wondering what in the world's going on. Daddy's killed a lamb and put the blood outside on the door and he's on the inside. See, that's our problem. We can't see the blood, but I'm telling you, who can? God can! He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. What an anchor for my soul. God knows His own and He's looking for the blood. And if the blood's been applied, there's no worry of the death angels. Oh, sir. The anchor of God's offering. Somebody said, what did that offering do? I want to say, number one, it obtained eternal redemption. Hebrews 9:12, for Christ has not entered into the holy places. There it is, entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. He has, I read the wrong verse. I read verse 24. Let me read verse 9:12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy of holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Hey! Hey, Armenians, get a hold of that! Hey, Pentecostal, get a hold of that! Hey, Nazarene and Methodist, get a hold of that! He entered in one time. You can't measure it in days and weeks and months and years. You can't even measure eternity in eons. You can't even measure eternity in light years. You can't measure it in miles. There's no distance to eternity. He obtained eternal redemption for us. How long is it? I'm going to tell you, it's a long, 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 long. It's a long, 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 but it's long. Hey, I want to say it again. It's long, 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 long. It's long, 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 long time. And if that ain't enough, it's longer than a long, long, long time. Son, you cannot measure eternity. What an anchor. Why worry about tomorrow? Why worry when things don't turn out right? Just, how's the verse go? Huh? And keep on going. Oh, I wish I knew the words to it. Everything will turn out right. And the next hand you shake could be the hand of the Savior. And the next, well, is it? I forget the words to it. Could be the marriage supper, and the last says the last, and the last part of it says, and He could be blessing your soul. Oh, yes, sir. That's a long, 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 long. That's a long time. Yes. Heaven obtained. He bought it. He obtained it. He got it. Amen. What an anchor. In His offering, and it was offering of His blood. Amen. He didn't enter in there with the blood of a goat, or the blood of a bull, or the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean thing. But He entered in with His own blood and by His own blood, one time sprinkled her on the mercy seat and obtained eternal redemption. Paul, get this now. Paul said, for us. Hallelujah. He obtained eternal redemption. That's one thing about that offering. And secondly, on that offering, He appears in the presence of God for us. I'm going to tell you, I tried to get a hold of that. I read that in verse 24, for Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. I looked down through these verses, just from verse 24 to verse 28 in chapter 9, and the word appear is used three times there. He appeared one time to put away sin. He appeared one time in the holy place. He's going to appear the second time without sin unto salvation to all those that are looking for Him. All three times that word appears mentioned. Now I'm going to tell you, when I read that three times in that passage of Scripture, I said, Lord, surely You're trying to tell me something about that word appear. What is Jesus? Why is He there to appear in the presence of God for us? And I just done a little study on that word appear. And it simply means that He manifest Himself there. He revealed Himself to God there. Now, I hope you can get... You ain't got a hold of nothing I've tried to say all night. But I hope you can get a hold of this. This is Hall theology. To manifest or to appear in the presence of the Father for us is to reveal to the Father the finished product of His redemptive work. Now let's pause right there. He appeared to God in the presence of God for us. In other words, when He sat down at the right hand of God, the Father looked over and Jesus said, "Father, here is the finished product." Now don't nobody leave me. I believe what He's getting at there is that Jesus is the prototype. I can see some of y'all done zipped through you. You don't know a bit more what I'm talking about than a man in the moon. I've got a few old pocket knives at the house. And you can open the blade on some of them. I bought them that way and it says right on the blade, prototype. Do you know what that prototype means? Two things. It means this, that every other knife that comes out of that mold will be exactly like that knife. And it also means, secondly, that there will be a whole bunch of other knives to follow that knife. And when Jesus appeared in the presence of God, having obtained eternal redemption for us, He said, "Lord, here is the finished product. I am the prototype, and there's a whole bunch of others just like me on the way." Thank God my anchor holds! Because I have been predestinated to be conformed to the image of Him. Oh, what an anchor! Oh, it holds steadfast and sure behind the veil! What a truth. Now I'm telling you, if you don't get anything else I've preached tonight, you need to get that. What a glorious truth. To appear in the presence of God for us. You know what? I believe every time I slip or every time you slip and stumble and we're tarnished just a little bit and sin tarnishes a little, the world smudges us up just a little bit, our old smut face, the devil, he kind of tarnishes us a little bit. God may look down, say, my, there's another tarnished vessel. But Jesus just kind of nudges the Father and said, "But Father, turn your eyes this way and you'll see the finished product." And when He sees me, He sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me as worthy and not as I am. He views me in garments as white as the snow. Woo! You get a hold of that. We got a prototype sitting at the right hand of God, which signifies there's a whole bunch more on the way. Hallelujah to God. Now I've got news for you. When we get there, we're going to be just like the prototype. Not a flaw. God will Jesus will present us blameless, faultless before the throne. I'm going to tell you something. He'll never remember one of your sins. Why worry, child? There under the blood, when He entered in one time, having obtained eternal redemption for us, not by the blood of goats and bulls, but by His own blood, He washed away my sin forever. And God, when I came to Calvary on that Sunday morning, God imputed into me the very righteousness of the Son of God and gave me a guarantee that someday I'll be like He is. I could go to 10:19 about the offering and show you how He opened the way. I don't have all the time, but that having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus, He opened the way. He obtained eternal redemption through His offering. He appears in the presence of God by His offering. He opened up the way for us through His offering. He opened up the way. No wonder He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Can you all get a hold of this? I don't want to choke none of you to death. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. And I've got news for you. I'm glad that Roman soldier pierced his blessed side.
Yes.
Somebody said, why? Because it's the door!
Yes.
God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. You hear me well, I don't understand it all. I'm just about to pass out. I'm just about to flip out and get plumb gone. I'm just telling you, hey, do you know what? God was in that veil. God was behind the veil in the tabernacle. Do you know that the flesh of Jesus was the veil? And do you know who was behind the veil? The God Almighty. No wonder He's the way, the truth, and the life. Let me ask you something tonight. Have you climbed up in the riven side of the Son of God, made your way behind the veil of this place, into the presence of Almighty God, and been reconciled? Thank you, Brother Hall. That ain't bad preaching. Amen. He opened the way. Then there's one other anchor. And it's in our text, and I couldn't quit tonight without preaching it and mentioning it to you. There's the anchor of God's oath. Notice what He said in verse number 16 through 18 there in our text. He said, for men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise, His immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath. That by two immutable things, now get verse 18, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for a refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. My anchor hold. Look here. Somebody, now don't nobody leave me. I want to try to help somebody tonight. Look here. God promised Abraham that He would fulfill in his life what He said He would. Oh, but that Abraham might have a strong consolation. God not only gave him a promise, but God made it, confirmed it by an oath. God said, Abraham, I swear unto you. By myself I swear unto you. When he could swear by no greater, who else is greater than God to swear by? When there was nobody any greater to swear by, God said, I swear by myself that I'll finish the work in you that I've started. You will have a family as the sand of the sea and as the stars of heaven. I will perform that good work in you, Abraham. And look here. And look here. He did it. He did it that we might have a strong consolation. That's right. Amen. Amen. Let me read this for you. God's oath to Abraham was a guarantee that he would continue to effectively work in him and invincibly preserve him to the end of his earthly course so that he would infallibly enter into the promised blessing. Son, if that ain't eternal security, I'll eat my hat. Huh? Oh, I'm glad my anchor holds. That's right. Now look here, and look here. And he confirmed it with an oath. And he said there in verse number 16 that a confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Now look here, the idea is there that when two men disagree with one another and there is strife and confusion and an argument, that the only way to settle that argument is for those men to take an oath that they're telling the truth. And the liar will not tell a truth. He won't take an oath. Son, we had the showdown in here one night. I walked right back there and looked the man in the eyeball and I said, let's get down on our knees and pray. And they, the one that's wrong, let God kill him and take him on out of here. The man said, no, 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 no. No, no, no. You know why? Pray, buddy.
Amen.
Huh? Amen. That's right. But hey, it ends all strife. Now look here. The application is this. When God confirmed what He had promised by an oath, what he's saying is it ought to end all strife in your heart.
Amen.
Why is there contention and strife in your heart tonight? Why are you worried so much about losing your salvation? God, why are you worried whether God's true? Let God be true and every man be a liar.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you what, if a man can't get a hold of what I'm preaching tonight and doubts what I'm preaching tonight, he's without faith.
Amen.
And needs to get saved by the grace of God.
Yes.
Better believe I'm telling it right.
Amen.
A confirmation that ends all strife. The purpose or design of oaths among men is to place bounds upon their contradiction and to make an end to their contentions. where matters of interest and importance are concerned between two or more men, the difference between them can only be settled by them being taken an oath. Now look here. And so that anchor of God's oath, he confirmed it, and it ended strife. Not only did he confirm it and end strife, but it was the council, and his council was involved, and God's counsel is immutable. Hey, that's right. Let's see how that reads there. That by two immutable things. You know what the word immutable means? It means it cannot be changed. Now get a hold of this. I want you to get a hold of this. Verse 17, wherein God willing abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel. Do you know what his counsel is there? God's counsel is the fact that his Son was ordained to come into the world and die for lost mankind. And in dying for sinners, he has the power to redeem them and to keep them. That's God's counsel. And God confirmed that with an oath. And God said, by two immutable things, unchangeable things, God will never change his counsel. I'm telling you, God's counsel, but he's in concrete. Mark her down. God's counsel is in concrete. One more thing now and I'm done. Somebody said, I'm glad. Hey, then this was for a strong consolation to give us, according to verse number 18, that we might have a strong consolation who have fled for a refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. I want to ask you something tonight. Have you got an anchor?
Amen.
Huh? You got an anchor? Or are you just playing with God, playing church?
Right. Amen.
My anchor holds.
Amen.
In times like these, we need an anchor. In times like these, we need a Savior. Be very sure. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. That rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. That rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure. Oh, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. God confirmed it with an oath. God's promise and God's counsel confirmed with an oath that is immutable, that they'll never change. God stands, it's an anchor, folks. It is an anchor for your soul, both steadfast and sure. Let's stand together.